Amen. Welcome to church today. How many are happy to be here? Amen. It is always good to be together in the house of God. Well, here we are. I can't believe that we're in 2025. Is that just blowing anyone else's mind, right? That idea, we're here in 2025. I remember growing up as a kid, I was looking forward to year 2000, thinking that was going to be a long ways away, and now here we are, 2025. You know, but one question that's been bothering me as I've been reflecting on 2025 is, by now, there was a lot of people that said we would have flying cars, right? Where's the flying cars? I want to know where that is. That would be wonderful by now to have that happening. But anyway, there's all sorts of things, you know, that we think about, you know, as we approach this new year. And this last week, I read a National Post article about predictions for 2025. And these were predictions given back in 1967. I wasn't born yet. Some of you were. Some of you weren't even thought about yet, right? 1967 was quite a while ago. But this lady named Sylvia Porter, Massachusetts-based article that came out back in those days, celebrated the world's first heart transplant by laying out a series of predictions about what would happen by year 2025. So back in 67, here are some of the predictions that were going to happen by this year. There would be a life expectancy of about 125 years, all thanks to chemical-controlled aging, right? I don't think we are living to 125 on average. Anyone want to live to 125? No, everyone's like, no, I don't want to live to 125. There we go. The next one, use of specific or specially bred animals for low-grade labor. I haven't seen any of those animals. You know, our dogs still don't take out the trash, right? Wouldn't that be wonderful if they did such a thing, you know, something around the house? Right? The next one, extra limbs would happen on demand due to biochemical stimulation. Okay, I have not seen anybody with an extra limb, you know, due to science that they just grew an extra limb. This one would be wonderful. All the teenagers would love this one. But the abolition of the education system, as all information would be encoded directly on the brain. Wouldn't that be awesome if you could just learn something by encoding something into your brain rather than going through all the process of learning and going to school every day? I don't know if that would be a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not going to argue either way right now. But those are some predictions, right, of things that would happen because time passes so quickly, doesn't it? You know, before you know it, you know, we're ticking along and we're going forward and, you know, time can just get away from us so quickly within our lives. I remember just thinking and reflecting over just the last 10 years in my life, how my life has changed. 10 years ago, I had a 14-year-old son and a 10-year-old daughter. Things were a little bit different in my household than they are now. My son's now married. He's having a career. He's married, has a child of his own, has another one on the way, you know, and so I'm a grandfather, 10 years later. My daughter, we just moved her into her first apartment on what day was that? Friday. It all runs together, but just moved her into her first apartment, and she's just enjoying life and getting life underway, and so there's a lot of different things that happened in my world in the last 10 years. In 2015, I was losing my hair, but now I'm a little more gray than I used to be. Anyone there, right? A little gray or a little balder, maybe a little heavier than you used to be, you know, 10 years ago. I don't know, 10 years ago, I was a youth and associate pastor in New Stanton, Pennsylvania. And then shortly thereafter, I moved to Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, was a pastor there for about 8 years or so. And then I've been here for about a year. I never expected to live in Ohio and to cheer for Ohio State, right? Never expected that, right? We could give Ohio State a round of applause after their big win. You know, never thought I'd do that from the pulpit, right? Yeah, it's wild, you know, the ride that we're on in life. In 2015, I'm still a Patriots fan, so you have to give me a little bit of slack here. But in 2015, they only had 4 Super Bowl wins. Now they have six, of course, but this last year wasn't very good. I think they finished right around where the Browns did, maybe a little bit, yeah, around that area. So I don't know who gets first pick, either the Browns or Patriots, but they're right in about the same spot as we look back at their year. But looking back, it's incredible to see how everything has changed. There's so many things and so many details and so many things that continue to move forward. But one thing we have in our lives is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, hopefully, you know, you are, and maybe you had a relationship with our Heavenly Father 10 years ago, and you're still growing in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've just been growing in your relationship with the Lord the last couple weeks, or maybe the last year or so, you know, but hopefully we're all a little bit closer to our Heavenly Father today than we were 10 years ago, right? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? That's the God we serve. And so we serve a God that is stable and consistent in all the different things that are happening in our worlds. Whether we have flying cars or we ride a horse to church, it's still the same God on the throne, right? We serve the same God. We serve a powerful God. Well, last week we started a series called Identity, Remembering Who We Are. In this series, we discuss our identity, some fundamental questions about who are you, and why are you here? And we discuss our identity by examining Peter's words. Remember, Peter, it was one of the 12 disciples. He denied Jesus a few times. The rooster crowed. You know the story. He had a fireside encounter with Jesus after Jesus rose from the dead. And then he went. He was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. He preached a great message. Thousands of people came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior after he preached his message, according to what we read in Acts chapter 2. And you know, he was one of the leaders in the church. And so as he was leading in the church, he wrote a letter called 1 Peter. And that letter was written to disperse to churches around the known world at that time. And in that letter, we're going to focus in on a passage that really focuses in that on that idea of remembering who we are. And that's what he was trying to teach to all the Christians in that day and age, is remember who you are, not who you are because of your genetics or your ethnicity or male or female or age or any of those demographical things, but remember who you are because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's the reminder that we're going through as we walk through this series. And this series is Remember Who You Are for those that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is just a series to help you remind you who you are in Christ, because sometimes we get burdened down with all the junk and the problems and the issues, and we stop understanding again who we are in Christ. And so that's the thrust of this sermon series, is to just take some time and remember who you are. Last week we examined the idea of you are chosen by God. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know that. You have been chosen by God. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can understand that by giving your life to Jesus. And so this is for everybody in the room today to learn and to glean from this series. But 1 Peter 2, 9, it says this, but you are a chosen race. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are chosen, right? You're chosen, a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Last week, we looked at the idea that God picks you and we belong to him. We looked at the idea that God identifies his church as royal and holy. You are royal and holy because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You are, and as God's chosen people, we must invite others to eat at the King's table. That idea of just inviting others to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's who we are. We are chosen as men and women of God. And so this morning I want to continue by looking at this next verse in this series, but just understanding beginning again. You know what, God, who we are in Christ and because of our relationship with Almighty God. Again, in verse 9, it says, you're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. One thing I want to pause and just remind us of in that passage, you know what? We look and we focus a lot on our personal relationship with Jesus, and it starts there with a personal relationship with Jesus. I make a decision that I'm going to give my life to Jesus and make him my Lord and my master, to put him in charge of my life. And that's what we do when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. But you know, every one of those descriptive phrases there, it's not necessarily about me individually. It is us corporately. Isn't that beautiful? That once you give your heart to Jesus and make him your Lord and your master, you become part of the body of Christ. You become part of this church. You become part of the church in this world. And so we get to celebrate life together. We get to do life together. We get to grow in our relationship with God together. And so when we give our heart to Jesus, we do that on a personal level. But then we get to celebrate the beauty of being part of the church of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing that we get to be part of the church, right? Part of this church family. And so we get to do life together. We are now part of the chosen race, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, a people corporately of his own possession. That's who we are in Christ. Then we go on further, verse 10. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You have not received once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. A beautiful passage, again, reminding us who we are. And so today I want to remind you, you know, when they started following Jesus, every part of their lives started to change, and every part of our lives change as we start following after Jesus and making him our Lord and our Master. Your words change, your actions change, your thoughts change, your desires change, your priorities change, your attitudes change, your relationships change, your life as a whole is changed. Peter reminded them of this by saying, who are you? You are changed. You are holy. You are no longer the same. Instead, you are redeemed by God. And so the topic today that we're going to look at, and I want to remind you, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are redeemed. You're redeemed. That's a beautiful and really a theological word that we might say, what in the world does that mean? That I am redeemed. So I want to just unpack that really briefly this morning. What does it mean to be redeemed? Well, Ephesians 1 says these words, starting in verse 7. It says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God is now revealed to us the mysterious, his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Again, a beautiful understanding there of who we are. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are covered. To redeem means to purchase and is set free by paying a price. That's what it means. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. Why? Because Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, when we put him in charge of our lives, that's what happens. We become redeemed. Our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. There were millions of slaves in the Roman Empire during that time. And often they were bought and sold like a piece of furniture. But a man could purchase a slave and set them free. That's one of the things that could happen. And this is what Jesus has done for us. We were in bondage to sin, but he set us free. And the price of our freedom was his blood. This means that we are free from slavery to sin, and we are free from the power of Satan. Right? That's who we are. Because he came and died on the cross, we are redeemed. We are set free from sin and the bondage of sin and the bondage of the enemy in our lives. This is good news for us today, that we are set free by the power of God. We need to understand how grievous our sin is to God. Hebrews 9:22, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There had to be blood shed in order for there to be forgiveness for our sins. In the Old Testament, that was done by sacrificial system and sacrificing animals. But because Jesus died on the cross, we don't have to sacrifice animals. Now, because of the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness for our sins. The whole human race stands condemned before God because of sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, is what Romans 3 teaches us. We all have a debt that we could not pay, but Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price by his blood. Mark 10:45 says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. Because of the blood that was shed by Jesus, we can be restored in a relationship with Almighty God. It's a beautiful thing that we get to experience, and we should come in this place and live our lives every day ready to worship God and give him glory and give him praise, not be overwhelmed by all the problems that we're facing, but we should live our lives worshiping and celebrating before the goodness of God, because you were lost and you were headed to hell for eternity. But because Jesus came and died on the cross, you have been redeemed, and now you have the hope of eternity in the presence of Almighty God for all of eternity. That's what we have to look forward to, not because we are special or we did anything different, but because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That should make us celebrate, right? Man, we should be rejoicing in the presence of God, who we are in him. We are redeemed. 1 Peter, again, verse 10, it says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Remember who you are. You used to not have the mercy of God on your life, but if you've given your heart to Jesus, you now have the mercy of God on your life. And that's something we can rejoice in and walk in, that understanding that I am redeemed, that God died on the cross for my sins because he loves me so much and wants a relationship with me. And it's a beautiful thing that we get to rejoice in our lives. Our identity is that we are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a people belonging to God. We are God's people. We have received mercy and grace from God. And only through God's grace and mercy can we be called children of God. We are redeemed. Now that we're redeemed, let's look at a couple of things that we can apply into our lives. And being redeemed first means living as a new creation and crucifying the old self. If you are redeemed, you will now live and walk different. You are now living as a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come, right? That's what happens when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our old is gone and we are now a new creation in him. Now, our main text is 1 Peter chapter 2, but we're going to back up to 1 Peter chapter 1 because there's some great words in here that I want us to park on and really just let penetrate into our hearts and our minds today. Starting in verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's pretty intense, isn't it? That's pretty intense when we stop and really start thinking about all that has happened because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. The New Living Translation puts it this way: so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, right? But we do now. We don't have to live the way we did before we came to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are now set free in Christ. We now can walk in victory. We now can walk in a renewed relationship with Almighty God. We now walk different than we did before we had Christ as our Savior. Paul wrote, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Right? Christ lives in us. We no longer have to live on our own, in our own power, in our own abilities, because we've given our heart to Jesus. We now walk with God every day of our lives. We now walk in the anointing of God's Holy Spirit everywhere we go. We now walk in the power of God's Holy Spirit everywhere we go. God Himself is dwelling in us, and we don't have to be bound by our old self anymore. We are now free in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Because of Jesus, I'm a new person. I'm a new creation. My old self is dead, and I'm not just a better or self-improved person. Because of Jesus, I am made new. I am truly changed by God. How are we changed? Part of being made new is letting go and getting rid of our old self. That's that part that we're doing every day of our lives as we walk in our lives and walk in and growing in maturity in our relationship with God. We're giving more and more of ourselves to God and getting rid of more and more of our old self as we continue to walk deeper in our relationship with Almighty God. This should be our prayer. Jesus, today I'm following you. If there's anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, help me to leave it and to kill it, and help me kill it in my life. If there are lies I'm believing or things I'm holding on to, or there are things I'm doing and I'm convinced are okay, but they're not, Jesus, please help me kill those things. Instead of being a bitter person, Jesus, help me to become a person that's a giver of your grace. Instead of being a prideful jerk who's so focused on self, I want to live only for you, God. Instead of being a liar, a critic, and a gossip, I only want to use my words to speak life. Instead of finding intimacy in impure sex or porn, Jesus, I want that intimacy with you. Jesus, instead of being filled with worry or anger or jealousy or drunkenness, I am a new creation in you. God has set me free. Right? We need to be praying. You know, God set us free. Help us to walk as free people. Help us to walk as the men and women that you have called us and intended us to be. We need to walk in freedom of Jesus Christ in our lives. Walk free from the bondage of sin in our lives because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's a beautiful thing that we get to do, a beautiful relationship we get to have with Almighty God. Who are you? You are redeemed and transformed by God. We need to crucify our old selves. The second thing I want to look at real quick is being redeemed is not just about keeping the rules. It's more about having a relationship with our King. I want us to really let that soak into your heart today. Because so many times, your relationship with God becomes all about the things I can and the things I can't do. All becomes about just living by a set of rules. And I challenge you, don't get caught up in living by a set of rules. Get caught up in living in a relationship with Almighty God. That's what He wants. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to live totally giving your life to Him. Let's read these words again in 1 Peter 1. "As obedient children, do not be conformed by the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" If we're honest, that's a little overwhelming. We hear that we must be holy in everything that we do, and we get a little overwhelmed by that, don't we? I get overwhelmed by that. I know you do too. Sounds impossible. When you hear that we assume that God wants us to do all the right things and not do all the wrong things, and so often we turn being a Christian into a self-improvement program. We turn being a Christian into a moral code, into trying to manage sin by following a bunch of rules. I can't do this, I shouldn't do that. But once again, it's about a relationship, not the rules. Peter said, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." What he's saying is that because God is holy, and because you have a nearness to Him, you will want nothing less in your life to live a holy life. When we focus on the rules and not the relationship with Jesus Christ, we get messed up, you know, but it's all about our relationship with Almighty God. When we say, I want to live so close to you, God, that I want to start taking on your characteristics in my life, that's when we're going to start walking in holiness as God wants us to walk in holiness. We're going to start living by God's holy word. Why? Because we're walking in closeness in our relationship with Almighty God. We can't live a holy life just by living the do's and the don'ts. We must have an intimate and close relationship with Almighty God. So what I'm challenging you today is throw out all the rules. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying you're going to live in holiness when you live close in an intimate relationship with Almighty God. And that's what I'm challenging you in today, to draw so close to God that you say, God, I want more of your character. God, I want more of who you are. God, help me to become more of what you need me to be as your obedient child. Hopefully our kids, right? We have kids and they grow up under our rules and under our authority. And hopefully as our kids are growing, they're not just living by our rules so because of fear of punishment. Hopefully they're living by our rules because they love us, right? And because we love them. And that's hopefully that relationship that we have with our children or with our parents, you know, and hopefully that's a relationship we have with God. Hopefully you're not doing all the right things because you're afraid of being punished by God. Hopefully you're doing the right things because you love God so much that you want to give every area of your life unto Him as an act of worship and say, God, I love you so much. I want to live like you live. I want to become like you are. I want to become holy in my life. The holiness of God is the only attribute of God elevated to the third degree. We never hear Him referred to as love, 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 do we? He's a loving God. Why don't we ever hear that God is love, love, love? We don't hear that in God's word anywhere. Or God is powerful, right? So maybe God is omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipotent. That's a tough one to say. You know, we don't hear God talked about in that way. What attribute of God do we hear put that way? His holiness. God, you are holy, holy, holy. Be holy, for I am holy, is what Scripture says. He who called you is holy, for I am holy, it says, and you also be holy in all your conduct. I want you to grasp this today. That is challenging to grasp a hold of our holiness, but it essentially means that we reflect who God is in every aspect of our lives. We start reflecting the character of God, and this holiness starts to penetrate and be in part of every aspect of our lives. Holiness should affect our behavior. J.B. Phillips puts it this way, be holy in every department of your life. As you draw close to God, you will become more holy in every aspect of your life. We should be holy with our cell phones. Amen? We know that we could be unholy with these cell phones pretty quickly. Whether it be something we post, whether it be something we search, whether it be something we text, whether it be something we say, right? There's all sorts of nasty stuff and things that we can sin, that we can be involved in that. Be holy in your phone. Be holy in your gaming. Be holy in your TV watching. Be holy when you're on the internet. Be holy when you're in your dating relationships. Be holy at your homecoming dance. Be holy in your marriage. Be holy when you hang out. Be holy in the kind of music you listen to. Be holy in your voting. Be holy in your sports. Be holy at home. Be holy while you're driving in the car. That's a tough one for me. Be holy when you're at work. Be holy at school. Be holy in your thoughts. Be holy in everything that you do. Every aspect of your life should reflect the character of Almighty God. And so I challenge you again, don't get caught up on the rules. Get caught up on your love for your Heavenly Father as you say, God, I love you so much, I can't wait to continue to grow in my relationship with you. God, I can't wait to see more of my life, you know, become more Christ-like every day as I continue to grow in my relationship with you. Two ways I want you to just apply this passage really quickly today as we get ready to close in just a moment is that a healthy relationship will lead you to live to please your Father. A healthy relationship with God will lead you to live to please your Father. As obedient children, because you love Him so much, you want to give Him every aspect of your life. And so right now, I'm sure there's areas of your life that you're looking at and saying, you know what? That has not been a very holy avenue and aspect in my life. I'm not living by God's standards in this area of my life. I don't know what that is, but I challenge you, as obedient children to God, draw close to Him and start living in obedience to Him because you love Him so much. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So now we need to walk in a way, in a manner, in a way that we're worshiping God in every aspect of our lives. And so I challenge you today, to live your life, to lead a life to please your Father. Second, as we get ready to close, a healthy relationship will lead you to not live like you used to. You will not live like you used to. You can't just accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and have nothing change in your life. It's not the way it works. We can no longer be in charge of our lives if you've given your heart to Jesus and made Him your Lord and your Master. If you have given your heart to Jesus, you are no longer in charge of your life. You're no longer living to satisfy everything you want in this world. You are now living to please your Heavenly Father. And so everything about your life becomes all intertwined with how am I living my life? Am I walking as a redeemed man of or woman of God? Am I walking in purity? Am I walking in holiness? Why? Not because I need to live by the rules that I read in the Bible, but because I live by a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now everything about my life has been changed and transformed by the power of God. I challenge every one of us to understand that being redeemed is about a relationship, not the rules. The closer we get to God, the more we'll fall in love with Him. The more time we spend with Him, the more and more He'll change us from the inside out. And our hearts, our thoughts, our actions, our lives will start to look more like His. So who are we? We are changed by God. We are holy. We are no longer the same. We have been redeemed. Let's stand on up around this place. Worship team, why don't you come forward? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes in this place today. If you're here today, you know, we talked about how blood needs to cover our sin. And so I challenge every one of us, if we have not given our heart to Jesus, made Him our Lord and our Master, then I challenge you right now to evaluate your life and understand that if you do not give your heart to Jesus, if you do not make Him your Lord and your Master, when you die, you will be going to hell to spend eternity in punishment because you did not give your heart to Jesus and make Him your Lord and your Master. But if you are here and you say, you know what, I give my heart to Jesus, I make Him my Lord and my Savior, then guess what? We have eternity in the presence of Almighty God to look forward to. And so I challenge you, if you're here today and you have not given your heart to Jesus, you have not made Him your Lord and your Master, I'm going to give you that opportunity to do so in just this next moment. I want you just to quietly just pray before the Lord right now and just spend a moment with your God. And right now, there's going to be something happening inside of you where God is speaking to you and saying, this is you. You need to give your life to me. And so as God continues to speak in your heart and in your life, I want you to respond to Him. It's going to be very simple. It's not going to be an embarrassing response. All I'm going to ask you to do is lift up your hand in this place and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand right now. Give you a moment. If that's you, you say, I need to give my life to Jesus today. I don't want to miss this opportunity where you can come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. If you're here today, you say, I have a relationship with Jesus, but I have not been living as an obedient child. There's something in my life that I need to get set free from. There's something in my life that I need to crucify. There's something in my life that I need to get rid of in my walk with God, because I'm not walking and I'm not living as an obedient child before my King. You know, if that's you today, I challenge you to come find a place of prayer. You know, we're going to close, and every one of us, you know, are walking in our relationship with God. And I know that not every one of us here, I know that none of us here has reached perfection yet. And so every one of us, there's probably some areas of our lives that we need to crucify and we need to be set free from. So today, as we get ready to close, as we spend time in worship, you know, these altars are going to be open. And I challenge you, if you're here and you say, I have not been living as an obedient child, and I need to go forward and confess my sins to God, these altars are going to be open here today. And I just encourage you to come find a place of prayer around these altars. Get alone with God and just spend some time asking forgiveness for those sins that you have been engaged in, and ask God to come purify your heart and to make you clean once again. And so these altars are open as we continue to worship our Heavenly Father and worship our Lord. Come forward. Find a place of prayer today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah, God, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus.
Could it really be this easy? That you love me like you say you do? I've got years and years of striving. There was nothing left to prove. Could it really be this simple? Your kindness changes everything. It's like your grace is on a mission to tear down my religion. You're all I really need. Hallelujah, all this time, how you love me, how you love me. Hallelujah, blows my mind, how you love me. You're not who I thought you'd be. You're not mad and you're not scared. All the shame and guilt I've carried is why you died for me. You love me.
my mind how you love me. God, help that to be the song of our heart as we walk through this week, understanding that you love us, understanding that we've given our hearts to you, we've made you our Lord and our Master, that we are redeemed and we can walk in freedom as men and women of God. And Lord, I pray right now that you would empower us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would walk in that redemption, we would walk in that freedom this week, and God, that we would continue to grow deeper in our relationship with you, spend time in prayer, spend time in your word like we should. And God, I pray that you just continue to help us, Lord, to love you and be obedient children in everything we do and everything we say this week. God, we love you. We thank you for this moment, your presence today. And God, I pray that you'd go with us in your strength and your power. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. We serve a good God. I'm so thankful that you are here today. If you're here for the first time and you're our guest with us today, I'd love for you just to go out through these side doors. You can meet our Connect team, and we'd love to shake your hand and just say hi to you before you go today. But I love you guys. Hope you have a great week, and hope you continue to run after Jesus in every aspect of your lives. God bless. Love you.